Churches and fellowships cannot be more spiritual than the individuals and families that constitute them. God greatly desires a godly home for. These are words of restoration and instruction in righteousness from Family Tent Ministry. May you be blessed as you listen.
Now, we've been looking at God's method in salvation. And several things have been said about this thing. But essentially what we were talking about is the fact that Christ could have died anyhow and our sins could have been forgiven, would have been forgiven. But God decided that this is the method I will lift him up. I will say the lifting up. What God lifted up is the same way Moses lifted up something in the wilderness. The serpent in the wilderness. And particularly our focus is on the fact that God is the method of God is not to take away temptations, trials, all of those things which have been the pattern of Christian prayer today. The method of God is to lift them or to make us to triumph over them. So we are more than conquerors. The things are there, but we are triumphing over them. How? As we look up, then we triumph. As we look up, we triumph. That is the method of God. We were able to establish also that if you really understand why you were baptized, you will know that there is a power at work in you. The God's method. God's method in salvation is to baptize us into Christ. That's another thing we did. We were baptized into Jesus. And the reason why God did that is so that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will be at work in us. And what I want to do is that the things we have been discussing, and what I think discussed lately. I mean, I was able to summarize everything. We remember everything now. With just what I've said. I mean, so that the things are moving, but I think we do have made several emphasis. This is what I was trying to say. That look, seeing the devil and the world, we don't need to begin to pray. God give me grace. Why? Grace has been given. It's a common method in the church. We don't need to pray, God make me righteous. Because we are righteous. We are not sinners. We are not. So what I want to do today, because I want to try to see if I can round up the matter. You know, at the beginning, I read a scripture that this scripture is often being quoted by people. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. But if we confess our sin, now, as how do we reconcile that with the matter of our salvation? I am not a sinner, I am righteous. Yes, people, what is common in church is for people to say that no leche ni gbogbo wa. Taba so pe a leche. Eh? The truth is not in us, so puro ni wa. To a leche. But yet the scripture says that we have been made righteous. So that was what took me to all the matter of God. We need to understand God's method. We need to know what God's method is. And so today, I want to I want to zoom, I want to chop God to finish with an issue today. And let me say this, as we try to start. Number one, sin was against God, isn't it? Sin was against God, not against them. How to know? We did not sin against the devil. Even though when we sin, we break edge so the devil can bite. But we don't sin against the devil. But we place ourselves in a position where the devil can touch us when we sin. But sin is not against the devil. The one thing you need to ask yourself is that, why did God have to die? Why did he have to go through all what he went through to forgive sin? Since sin is against him, could I just say that forgiving him? And that would have solved the problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sin is against God. God so loved us, he wants us to come to him, so he needs to make us holy. He could have just said, okay, no, be no more. I said, repari, abi, show or tony, do a machine. But the second one, the repada. Man, okay, kidding, cotton shade. Over 30,000 million. With the two law, who are the money new accounting, who transfer rights and other accounts in your father, money will be somewhere. He did not my own, I'm not the owner of the two accounts. Why am I just transferring money again from this account to this account? To now say, okay, come over. Even if I've not transferred the money, can't I say that it's all over? The other thing you need to look at is that part that God took, was the part that even when he was about to take it, he said, if you are willing, let this call pass over me. It was not an easy path. And he wanted to forgive man. Why is he giving himself so much problem? Are you understanding what I'm trying to bring up? Why did you do so much for me?
There's logic in the argument.
How do you get it? Why is he doing that? The reason is clear. When God speaks, he speaks eternally. That is, whatever he says cannot be reversed. It's an eternal thing. When he said the wages of sin is death, and also the wages is death, there cannot be life. He cannot bring life again without paying the wage. That is God. The reason why I'm saying this for you to understand, the place, the integrity, the strength of the Word of God. That's why the Bible opened up by saying, in the beginning was the Word. When God contradicts the Word, he contradicts himself. He has said, without the shedding of blood, there cannot be remission for sin. So blood must be shed for sin. So even when it can't come to his own side, he can't turn it. That tells you the nature and the integrity of the Word of God. So that the same way that God says, you know, God has said, Moses, make a serpent, put it inside the temple. It will come to pass. If anybody run into the temple and stand there, the person will be saved. What would have been the method for salvation? To run into the temple. If God has said, Moses, The solution. Okay. Tell the people. And then they are beaten by the serpent. They should clap three times. Father, Son, Spirit. What will happen? If they clap three times, that tells you that there is nothing about the serpent on the pole except that God said. There is nothing about the serpent. It was just that is what God said. That is what gave life to the serpent. It is by the word. Do you know why I'm saying this thing? It's for you to get something clear. The emphasis of Jesus on whosoever believes the report. Who will believe the report? And if I think God of Gola Mala, in control of that is something in Balawa. Salvation is not in any other place. This is in what God says. Are you following me? It is whatever God says. And so it tells you that anytime you look at the gospel, eh? What is the gospel? What's the gospel? What is the literal meaning of the gospel? So if it does, which means the things that save us are actually things that are reported. News is something that happened and it is being reported. Do you get what I'm trying to bring out? Eh? But it should, something should bother your mind that when I'm trying to look for an illustration. Okay. The position of man before, make this bad man's position before the fall. When man sins, he said, he came where? Down, isn't it? When God wanted to restore man, what did God do? God did not bring man to this place. And Yahweh, God brought man to this place. Man was not brought back to where he was before he fell. Before man fell, he was a creation. When man was restored, he was a son. Do you get that at all? Nobody could call God Father until Jesus came. Nobody addresses God as Father. So it is in Christ who became Son. That's why the Bible says, even this thing, angels were wondering about it. Angels were wondering that. You know why they were wondering? Angels were not redeemed. Angels sinned, they were not redeemed. Man sin. To what is sin? To what is that father? Why is that father people? See before what they left. He come, only no redemption. He came. Oh, that father sin. To what they left. But to what they left, okay. That's why if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, he said this salvation, angel desire to look into it. You don't understand you. What kind of thing is this? The reason is clear. It is only man that was made in the image of God. I hope you get the point I'm making. Eh? So, God did everything to do what? To do what? To redeem His what? His image. And that's why in redeeming them, he wants to bring it to be the image again of the Son. This word image keep coming up. He wants to conform us again to the image of the Son. You get the point I'm making. Now, the reason why I'm pointing all of these things, why I'm drawing all of these things out, is that now God wanted to take man from here and bring him here. Please, what is the best way for man to, for God to do it? The best way to do it, because what he did is something too wonderful. That angels themselves were surprised. The best way to make this thing, to actually add the majesty that it has, you understand me? It's the only time God wants to save somebody. You should just see Gabriel, Michael, Raphael. It's just a, you know, something to make us know that's what God did. Are you getting what I'm trying to bring out? It should be that.
We are accomplishing the ceremony
with all we. You get the point? But if you look at it, how was Jesus himself redeemed? He was redeemed in such a useless and it's unthinkable, a way that when you will see him, there is no reason to desire him. Now, I'm trying to show you why it is difficult for people today to walk in the fullness of God. Now, in the same way, the Bible says, as you receive Jesus, so walk in him, rooted and built up. So he now taking man from this place to keep taking them. What did God do? God can just use one girl. One girl may just meet a director. Okay, you need to take Jesus. So. Shut up there. Okay, Jesus said so. If you can just believe, see it. And then somehow the person will get it. Is that the way to give this kind of transfer? The majesty is steady. You understand? So you go tell me, whoa, don't tell me now. Oh, you go tell me, you are barata, you and me. You know, can not get to the push by, can not go to the other room. Oh, you barata, can get breath up for by, can make a number for by. Because all of us share, of people are cool, the big, of us, so I don't know, because all of us share, you know, I don't know, something, but if you see the way this thing is being done, it is in so much simplicity, and what is it? Someone will just tell you a news. Someone will just report to you that, if you just die, you believe, you see, and then you believe, and the thing is happening. What I'm trying to make you see, that all that God intends to do in our life, all that God intends that we walk into this fullness, is by simplicity of belief. That was why, when he resurrected, and Thomas was arguing, was no. Except I put my hand, except that when he came, he was disappointed. Because he was looking for signs. He wanted something dramatic. Go survive, go one back. But that is not the way of God. And he said, Thomas, because you now put your hand, you believe. Come on, shame. Better than those who did not see but believe. Now, because the way God wants to do it, what did Jesus expect from Thomas? To just believe the report. The Lord is alive. And they begin to walk in that. He goes everywhere. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. That's what they expected from him. When he said, I want to touch, he felt disappointed. I'm showing you the simplicity of our salvation. You know, sometimes when you pray, you want to, as you are praying, you want to hear a voice that says, follow this prayer,
has been answered. For you to really have a conviction. You don't want to believe the report.
That he that seeketh finds, he that has to receive.
You want something? You understand me? I'm going to make you see why the church has not been able to enter into the fullness of God. We want to experience something to affirm it. We want something. We want something to dip our hand into, something to put our hand into, something to for us to be able to walk in the experience. And yet, that is not God's method. And so, the fullness of God is not manifested in most people who have become born again today. Now, if you get that clear, you will now understand why Peter, after he has spoken about the salvation, what is the immediate thing he told the disciples? What was the immediate thing he told them? It's a good message. Can you please define me? Let's see. I think it should be good with you. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. That's where the whole thing is. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Let's just, I think it should be good to just see. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. If you look at the reading of 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3, he began to talk about the salvation. Also, from that verse 3, he said, let me read NLT. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for us to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a while. Do you get the point? Do you get what it's trying to say? There is great joy ahead, but the Bible makes us to see that many people are mentioned as well. Only my faith, they can't hear your gala. You get it? I just want us to read those. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purified gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you so much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So you understand why James says, count it all joy when it comes to different trials. What is God doing? Is to make the faith more precious. I hope you get the idea. But I'm going somewhere. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you did not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with glorious and joy. The reward for trusting Him will be salvation of your soul. Now, look at it. This salvation was something even the prophet wanted to know more about when they prophesied about the glorious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and the great glory afterward. They were told that their message were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preach in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is so wonderful that even the angels were eagerly watching these things happen. So think now, what follows immediately is spoke about that. What follows immediately? So this one says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to when Jesus Christ is revealed in the world. What is that so? Think clearly. How does your own put it? So do what? Guide the loins of your mind. Another one.
Prepare your mind. Prepare your mind for service.
Prepare your mind. Do you see it? Have you said this something?
NIV says, therefore with mind that are alert.
Therefore with mind that are alert. Alert to what? He said, therefore with mind. After I talk about the salvation, the way it comes, how did he say the salvation come to you? It was announced. He said, prepare, you know what he's trying to tell you? That if you don't experience the salvation, it's because of the way you think. The problem is with your mind. Prepare your mind. As you believe it, you say you are kept by faith. As you believe those reports, it came to you, you take it. So prepare your mind. That means refuse to think any other thing apart from the report. Refuse to allow any other thing go through your mind. The good news, what did they say? What was said? What is the report? You keep believing. You keep, no, the report says. No, the report says. The report says. You keep turning your mind. You keep facing issues of life with what? With that report. Because if you don't do it, he says so. Exercise, you know, so. Think clearly. Learn to think clearly. Don't let your thinking be clumsy. Think clearly. It's not anywhere. So be thinking it. If you don't think it, as a man thinketh, so he is, you can never experience it. Think it. When he says you are righteous, think that you are righteous. Say that you are righteous. With the heart man believes, with the man confession is made. Think it. Say it. Prepare the mind. Prepare. Many times our minds are not prepared. Look at Jesus Christ when he was tempted. What was the alertness? Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Stone turned to bread. What was his mind alerted to? It is written, man cannot live by bread alone. That was it. The report. That was the report. Because the spirit of Christ spoke in the prophets. So it is that same thing. That's why the Bible says that the church is founded on the foundation of the prophet and the apostle. Jesus being the chief cornerstone. The prophet prophesied. The apostles, it was fulfilled. The apostles then preached that what they prophesied about had been fulfilled. So it's just one message. There is no any other thing. So you think it, begin to think it. Whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, whatever is a good report, if there be any praise, if there be any passion, think this thing. Be thinking of it. Now, do you know why, you know, when that was said, if you read on and on and on, you discover that it is as you think that everything, as obedient children, not by telling yourself according to the former laws in your ignorance. What was the ignorance? What was the ignorance before? You were ignorant of the good news. The reason why we normally commit fornication is that we don't know the good news. Don't fashion yourself those things happen because you were ignorant. The reason why you're able to laugh is because you are ignorant. Don't fashion yourself after the former laws in your ignorance. In other words, if a Christian is continuing the former laws, it is because he chose to ignore the good news. prepare your mind. Why can I not sin? How can I who have died in Christ continue again in sin? God forbid. That is the thinking that I'm talking about. That is the announcement of that what Paul said when he was confronted. Yeah, that was his thinking. Say, God forbid, how can it continue? That is thinking, now that was the mango, but I'm going to say, so apple, mango, you mean? As he thinks that, what happened? Because there's so mango. Really, wait a minute, your mind, change the way you think. I give you another illustration. You remember David? Eh? And the son of Gideon. Jephthah. The two of them. You remember those two youths in the Bible? Both of them were youths. Gideon conquered the kings of Midian. Eh? And called his son to come and kill them. What did the son do? Could he kill them? He could not kill them. What did the Bible say? He said he could not because he was a youth. The king now said, one of the kings now said, as a man is so is so is he. As a man dies, so is his strength. You kill us yourself now. This boy could not do it. Then there was another youth again, David. This one, the enemy has not been captured. The enemy is coming, the whole nation is running. But look at what the youth was thinking. The way he can afford to kill bear and lion. This one too will die like that. He said, hey, you come again, we think I he said, no, me, I'm going to cut off your head, I will give you to. That one, the enemy has not been tied, they are both you to. But this one was thinking the deliverance that God has wrought in his life. He was thinking it, he was saying it, and eventually what happened? When he got to Goliath, he took Goliath's sword and did what? And cut off his head. So, why couldn't Jephthah cut the head of those kings that were captured? Because of his mindset. You get it? His mindset. I'm telling you, when people don't experience the fullness of God with their mindset, that's what the Bible says. Eh? Though we walk in the flesh, we want to be in the flesh. Eh? The woman of our women, they are not carnal. They are mindful because of the pulling down of truth. He said, we cast down thoughts and imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. There is a knowledge of God. But there are imaginations and thoughts that exalt themselves above that knowledge. He said, we take thoughts captive. We bring them to the obedience of Christ. Your stronghold is your mind. That stronghold is that there is a thought that is exalted above Jesus. It's exalted above the knowledge of God. You are not taking it captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. That is, we have not brought it to obey the gospel. There is a good news, there is a news. There is a news. If you believe the report, you will be saved. Now, so that it is based on that, it is based on that background, that you must enter into some 6:19. Thank you. Now so, let me now go to where we are ending up there. Let me leave that matter. Let me go to, please look at, now, 1 John. The place we started from, and back there. 1 John. Are you there? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. Are you there? I'm reading from verse 5. This is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What is God? In God there is no what? What follows in verse 6? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if everybody in the fellowship is God, can a person be in darkness? There is nobody who is thinking this thing that I'm telling you now that can walk in darkness. If you are thinking it, you cannot fashion yourself after the former laws. You become obedient children. I hope you understand it. God is light. And what is the light? The light of the truth. The light of the world. Are you getting it? You know, light, the world, Jesus, and God is the same thing. I want to know. In him was life. The life is the light of men. Please don't forget. So when we say life, and we say light, and we say the word, and we say him, and we say God, we mean the same person. We mean the same thing. So when you say God is light, you say God is light. When you say God is the word, it's the same thing. So if any man is in life, and are you understanding me? I hope that is very clear. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. Co possible. That's what Paul truly says. That look, how can we continue in sin? God forbid, how can we are dead? Those that we were baptized, they continue. It is the thing that John said, that those that is born of God are not continuing in sin, because the seed of God is in them. So when you notice that there is darkness, let me get you clear. I know that you are actually born again. The problem is that you are not having fellowship with God. Tell me about where I was here. I'm a daughter. Your fellowship with God is not smooth. There is something clouding it. You may be taking on the word of God. You may be in the Bible. But you are not thinking it. It's simply saying, guide the loins of your mind. You may just be there by tap and heat. You may not be thinking that you are already here. We see that we are a new creature in Christ. But when you see sin, you continue in sin. Because you didn't guide the loins of your mind. You didn't bring it at that point. So say, no, I'm a new creature. This thing cannot continue. That was that Jesus death to temptation. You must guide the loins of your mind. If you see, if you look at it again in Romans 12, he said, present your body a living sacrifice. Which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? He said, it's about the mind. If the mind don't change, you will remain in darkness. You must change the way you are thinking. You have to think this thing, this good news, think it. So if anybody is fellowshipping with God, is in that fellowship and is thinking God, you will be acting God. You will be living God. You understand it now? You will also be light. I hope you get the point that he's making there. So, what's out first? Whether you are thinking who God says you are. Now, what's the time now? 6:24. I have just 1 minute. So, let me round it up now. Look at it. He says, if we say we are fellowship with you and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk where?
In the light. As he is in the light.
Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus sought from all. Now, listen to me. If you walk in the light, as God is in the light, we are able to have true fellowship. I'll tell you what, later we'll talk about understanding true fellowship. Very bad fellowship, they are not true fellowship. Because people are walking in darkness and they come together and so they don't do any good things to themselves. For that sort of a discussion for today, later we'll understand, we're talking about the power of true fellowship. But what I want to talk about is, if people we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It means even inside that light there is sin. I want to explain something. That is what people don't understand. Because people will be saying, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Can you cause only bad sin to one who light? Cause only bad sin to one who darkness? That is not sin in life. Everybody that is in light, God is light. There is no darkness in light. But when we walk in light, as it's in the light, eh? The blood of Jesus is clean from sin. If we say we don't have that sin, then we are liars. He's not talking about sin in darkness. Use this scripture to justify sin in darkness. Part of it will be a little bit The sin John was talking about is the sin that is in the light. And let me make that clear to you. Eh? You must understand that the purest of men cannot stand in the presence of God. If you don't understand that, then you are a fool. The purest of men cannot stand God's presence. Do you know why? Because for every saint, God is perfecting the saint. So there are imperfections in the saint. Eh? So as he walks in the light, because God cannot behold anything that is not fully holy. That's why I say, by one sacrifice, he sanctified forever them that are sanctified. By that sacrifice, the blood of Jesus remains forever. As you walk in the light, it is that blood that makes us, even though God is perfecting us, that makes us able to stand in God's presence. If you remove that blood, everybody will die. No, ko si eleru ara. Come on, tole duro wa jolong ba ko si. No human can. That's why he says, by a new and living way. That was consecrated in his flesh, he made a new way for us. The new way that there is always a constant cover. He did that by one sacrifice. For the high priest, they had to repeat it over and over and over and over again. But by one sacrifice, he did that forever. Because he entered into the heavens to offer the blood. Moses did it in shadow. He entered into heaven to offer his blood. So that we must always understand we see Jesus. That's why you say, I'm going to heaven because I am good, because I pay tithe. Because you don't understand heaven. Nobody can enter heaven by the basis of any works because of the holiness of God. So even though we walk in the light as it's in the light, we should not begin to think that it's about our holiness that we stand before God. We stand by the reason of the death and the resurrection of Christ. In Him alone are we complete. Outside Him, we are nothing. So, everything about us is in Christ. He said, you are complete in Him. You are that in me. That's what you only do this Bible that it is in him. He made peace for us. He did that for us. We are satisfied by faith in him. Everything is about him. That is why the Bible says in John 1, he says, of his fullness we receive grace upon grace. If we did cherry cover for the Lord, just to pull a yewa at his come. As it comes, that's why there are no two saviors. If a man is not following Jesus, if they call him your pastor, please pass him and follow Jesus. There are no two saviors. There is only one blood that is speaking better things than the blood of Abel, and that is the blood of Jesus, not the blood of any pastor. But we must know that it is if he said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we don't walk in darkness. We walk in light. Eh? We walk in light. We don't talk after our former lust. We are not conformed to the world. We are conformed to God. Our body is presented to God. But yet we understand that it is not by our holiness that we stand. It is in him that we stand before the Lord. That is the continuation of that scripture. It is not a justification for men to continue in darkness. We leave the matter today. I will take questions next week when we gather. I know there are questions in our mind. Eh? Is there a question in our mind? But it's already 6:30. Eh? Is there a question? I will take it. But I'm trying to reconcile that scripture. That when your mouth is supposed to be in your jelly, and you coming for the question. And yeah, so what's the plan? They say, you know, you put on you are, you continue to be, you know, Jesus, eh, is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the Lord. He was able to make us, he gave grace, he made us righteous, so that we can say no to godliness and godly love, and live holy in this present world. But in that holiness, we know it is by his blood that we stand. We must never come before God confident in any righteousness that we have done. The righteousness we have is a gift. It's not by works. It's a gift. It's never by works. We must be ever conscious of it.
Okay, the confidence of the blood.
That is what I'm saying. We are confident. We are in the light. Paul said we speak with boldness because he is ever there still making intercession. We are so confident when we come before God. We don't come. But he said, come boldly to the throne of even if you feel that something is wrong, you have not done well. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. So come and offer that mercy when you come up with boldly. What gives you the boldness? Because his blood cleans us from sin. That's what gives us that boldness. It's never something that we did. So that you don't finish praying one day. So you must pray that alone. You're not confident. At least you'll be well. You know, we have those four things sometimes. We live by those four. Okay, I'm asking Dadra, Dada. I'm not confident. What is Dadra? I think Dadra is actually going to go. We should not put confidence in ourselves. Eh? It's so important for you to always know that our confidence is in the Lord. But yes, God has made a provision that anybody who fellowship with God cannot. You cannot walk in darkness. Go and check if there are darkness around you. It's because you are not fellowshipping with God who is in the light. You are not thinking it. You are not changing your mind. You are not renewing your mind. Please let us pray this evening. Let's pray this. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord this evening.